Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. Libby, we are so excited to have you join us today.
Thank you so much for having me on your broadcast. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm really, really excited. And you mentioned kind of pre-talk, you know, that you're rusty telling your story. And that is a good thing, you know, because there should be life after your Lyme story. Yeah. You know, so you shouldn't have to have it fresh in your mind all the time. So, so I'm excited that you're in that place.
Yes. And, you know, it's funny because I thought that this was going to kind of be just in the forefront of my mind and my life every moment of the day forever. But honestly, I hardly think about Lyme anymore. And coming from a place of being diagnosed with advanced stage neurologic Lyme and my whole body and, you know, just the very grim prognosis I had, I really didn't think that where I'm sitting today would ever be a reality.
That is amazing.
That those words right there are going to give a lot of hope to the listeners.
Yes,
we don't have to always be labeled as Lyme. We can get a life and move forward. So we're excited to hear your journey.
So what does advanced neurological Lyme look like? I mean, what is that?
Sure. So basically, I had been sick for a very long time. I just had weird symptoms, even back into childhood, but definitely into my young adulthood. Nobody could really tell me what it was. I got a lot of our best guess is this or best guess is that. I had a period of time, and I don't want to get ahead of myself in the story too much, but I had a period of time, several periods of time where I really couldn't walk, couldn't feel much from the waist down, lost use of the left side of my body intermittently, never knew when it would work and when it wouldn't. And basically I had meningitis, viral meningitis that just gave me these blinding headaches after that. And that's kind of when we finally discovered it was that advanced neurologic Lyme. It was when everyone finally figured out what was going on, and I was seeing a lot of specialists, they compared what I was dealing with to undiagnosed and untreated cancer pain. And I was, you know, too stubborn to get in a wheelchair, but my husband, who is a physician, often said I was really wheelchair material and should be doing that, but I was just too stubborn to do that. So just kind of dragged myself along as best as I could, because I there was some kind of barrier to me doing that. I wanted something different. So
it's kind of that acknowledgement, you know, that once you get into that chair, then you're acknowledging that, I'm wheelchair bound.
Yes. And I did get a handicap permit. I use crutches, cane, walker. Sometimes my little 12-year-old would have to carry me to bed because I couldn't get up the stairs and couldn't walk. We made it through without the need of that. So
tell me, so you've dealt with these things, kind of started when you're young. I mean, when did all of this start? I mean, when?
Sure. Really, it came to a head, I guess would be the best way to say it. It came to a head after the birth of my fourth child. I just turned 30. After our youngest was born, the doctors just kind of came to me and they said, we don't really know what's going on exactly, but you can either choose to try to have more children or you can be around for the ones that you have. because we think another pregnancy would probably kill you. And I'm like, well, why? Like, I don't have a diagnosis that we don't know. And they just said, we don't know. That's our gut feeling. And, you know, you probably need to stay away from that. So at this point I'm gaining weight. I can't lose the pregnancy weight. I'm inflamed. I'm having trouble walking. They finally figured out that I couldn't absorb any nutrition at all. So my IV was my bedpost. So I'd have IV nutrition every day or every couple of days. My husband was a solo OBGYN practitioner in rural Louisiana, which meant he was on call 24/7, right? He was always there to deliver the babies, which meant I was always on duty with the 4 very young children we had. And so I get them to bed as best as I could. And then I would lay down on the couch at night and couldn't really, just the only thing I could feel in my legs was tremendous pain. I was in physical therapy and, you know, getting worse, going to doctors. Every doctor I went to got worse. Every medication I got on got worse. They tried to diagnose me with MS like 5 different times because my mom had it. And I was like, I don't have MS. I've lived with that. I know what it is. It's not that. And I would prop my legs up on the couch and cry myself to sleep. And I couldn't even have my husband touching me because my skin hurt so badly. And I would just pray and I would say, God, please just take me. Just take me. I'm a burden to my family. I'm a burden to myself. Every moment is agony. I can't do this anymore. But if you don't take me, then use me. Use this journey, use this situation for something good because I cannot have this wasted. And that was kind of at my very low point. My lowest point, I sat and talked to my husband and talked to him about, and this is at the ripe age of 30, by the way, the type of woman I'd want him to marry to raise our children if I didn't survive. So, and that was a very real possibility because we didn't know what was going on or why.
Wow. That's heart-wrenching to hear. Wow. I don't even know what to say. Yeah, because, you know, it's so hard to get doctors to listen to us and acknowledge what we're saying. Exactly. And I know, I mean, from my experience, but I know from so many, talking to so many people that our stories are crazy. Like we could be out walking the mall one day, but yet can't walk the next day. I understand it doesn't make sense. I understand it sounds like we might be a little crazy in the head.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all in your head. But, oh, I heard that so many times. Yeah. You didn't get on antidepressant. Oh, I'm like, I'm not depressed. Yeah. I'm just in pain and I can't feel my legs. That I don't think those are 2 symptoms of depression last time I checked.
Right.
I'm pretty smart. I don't think that's it. And, you know, to your point, my husband is a physician. And I had a lot of really wonderful, caring practitioners who were trying, but you know, this was back in 2010-ish. And especially in Louisiana, Lyme disease was just a zebra. Nobody knew what it was. Nobody was thinking Lyme disease. While I had lived in, you know, rural Michigan, a lot of my growing up, and my husband, I remember after, you know, kind of having that talk with him, he just came and sat next to me one day and he said, I can't sit here and watch you suffer anymore. I can't do nothing. I can't sit here with my hands tied and watch all these specialists do all this stuff to you and treat you like a lab rat. We're going to figure this out together. So he went to a functional medicine conference and just said, called me like an hour in. And by the way, at this point, I was like, I think I'm just on my way out. I'm sick of this. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm in too much pain. And he said, no, I really think we can get you well. And so he started taking this functional medicine path and started doing things with me, simple things with me that started getting me better. All of a sudden, I wasn't needing to go to physical therapy so much. All of a sudden, my pain was going away a little bit more. All of a sudden, within a month or two, I could wear high-heeled shoes. I never thought I'd be able to do that again. It was shocking. Now, I didn't have my Lyme diagnosis at this point, by the way. This is just him doing some things to help me with inflammation, right? And we were like, woo, all right, we did, we did this, we're done. All right, go us.
And do you remember what these little things were? I mean, what?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. We did something called the ALCAT test, which is a test that tests food sensitivities, not food allergies. Food sensitivities tell us how it's ramping up your immune system. So I had been so careful to I tried being vegan. I tried being organic. I tried doing all this and that. And what I discovered was all these amazing foods that make everybody else healthy were making me sick. And I remember one of the researchers at the ALCAT company called me and said, this is probably the worst ALCAT I've ever seen. And I get that a lot. Like, I don't want to have the trophy for these things, but I tend to get those. And he said, you've got autoimmune, but I don't know what it is. I've never seen anything look like this. So I had 6 foods I could eat on the planet. And I rotate, you have to rotate them too, to get, so your immune system doesn't go crazy. So for 6 months, I ate 6 foods, but I was so happy because I didn't have a fever every day and I could walk and I wasn't in this horrible pain. Like, it wasn't totally solved, but compared to the way I'd been living, I felt like I'd won the lottery. And I was just feeling great. And, I was on some good supplements. I was, just starting to get a little something. Well, then my crazy autoimmune body did what crazy autoimmune bodies do, which is, hey, let's throw another monkey wrench in this. So I ended up with a thyroid condition, ended up with thyroid storm and Graves' disease. So I had heart involvement. The cardiologist thought I was going to have a heart attack right in front of his face. And I was just like, oh man, what? I thought we had gotten this solved, but we hadn't. So we battled that for another couple of years, and I actually didn't have to have my thyroid radiated or anything. We used natural medicine to get me acupuncture, herbs, lots of stress reduction, meditation, and some other supportive supplements to just help my body heal itself of Graves, which I don't think is super common. And so then we were like, all right, now we've really overcome the hard thing, we're good to go.
So I'm curious about the stress reduction. Where did your children go?
Great question, because I'm a homeschool mom. Yeah, yeah. I'd been homeschooling them, and I sent them all to school for a year or two, and that did help.
Oh, well done.
That certainly helped.
Good strategy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the meantime, Jamie had shut down his OBGYN clinic, and we had moved totally to functional medicine model. And I was his office manager and doing all that. And we got a really cool opportunity to integrate functional medicine into a large corporation, an international corporation. So we were doing that all over. We were blowing and going. We had 12 clinics across the country. We were the largest functional medicine providers for this company. And then I got men in.
This was stress reduction?
Yeah, oh, okay. Absolutely.
I just want to double check.
Well,
she has a different idea what stress is, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was just so happy to be living my life that it was stress reduction, because after living so limited for so long, as crazy as it sounds, I think it was stress reduction, because I was living the life I never thought I'd be able to. So I was just so grateful. And I do a lot of, when I work with clients, I do a lot on gratitude and just having that, holding that space of really being content exactly where you are while still wanting, to improve things. And so, yeah, I felt really good, actually, as crazy as it sounds. It was a weird life, but I was loving it because I could do things again and I was healthy again. I had energy again.
No, so, I can totally relate to that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, people talk about, they don't want to go to work or whatever. And when I felt better, right, I'm like, I just want to go to work. I just want to feel better and go to work. People are like, you want to go to work? I'm like, well, when you're stuck for 13 years and you can't do what you want to do, it's that. Yeah. So it sounds crazy, but I think it may just be something that us Limeys understand.
Yes. I mean, honestly, there were days, especially when I got into the Lyme treatment and everything, where I actually made checklists for myself of okay, get out of bed, check. Take your supplements, check. drink water, check, anything, take a shower. And sometimes that was all I could do for the day because I was so wasted by the treatments I was in. But I had to keep in mind that I was still progressing and I was moving forward. And that's, I think, the best stress reduction in the world, honestly. At least it was for me.
Yeah.
So how did you, when did you figure out Lyme? I mean, you had the food thing and that made you feel better. Then all of a sudden you almost had a heart attack with Graves' disease and you figured mm-hmm. that out. So where did Lyme become part of the picture?
Yeah. So then I basically got meningitis. I woke up with this horrible headache. I couldn't turn my head. And it was really weird. I talked to my husband, Jamie, like I was not lucid at all. I had a high fever. And I just remember turning to him and saying, don't take me to the hospital. I'll die there. I just knew something was wrong and that I wouldn't survive. And he was like, well, if it was bacterial meningitis, you'd already be dead. So, you know, we can watch you. So he and my doctor like sat with me around the clock for several days, just making sure I was okay. And I didn't need to go to the hospital. And the headache was just incredible. And after that, he just was kind of thinking and he thought, you know, I think you might have Lyme, Libby. You know, cause we had both grown up in farm country in rural Michigan and tick bites were like getting a mosquito bite. You didn't think anything of it. It was no big deal. So the odds, I got bitten by ticks every single year growing up. It wasn't like a one time or two time thing. So he was like, we should at least rule this out, but I think this might be it.
And this so is he your, found a, your husband,
my husband, Jamie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And so he wasn't super well versed in it, but just had read enough that he thought we should at least look into it. So he reached out to a lady he had met through his speaking that he had done that her whole job was Lyme. She's retired now, but she was in the Washington, D.C. area and she did some testing on me. And sure enough, it was definitely Lyme. And I remember I was sitting in a cornfield in a parking lot and I remember her telling me, you know, Libby, I've been doing this for over 20 years and I've never seen, again, I got this wonderful, wonderful distinction.
You're an overachiever.
Yeah, I am. I've never seen lab numbers this low. Your husband has propped up your immune system and he's done a wonderful job because you'd be dead if he hadn't, but your body is shutting down right now. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm working 60 hours a week. I, you know, homeschooled my kids. Like I'm blowing and going. What do you mean? She's like, no, you have to stop everything. You have to quit work. You have to get a nanny for your kids. You have to treat this like very aggressive cancer. I don't know if you're going to survive this, but we're going to do everything we can to make sure you can. And that was like a sucker punch because I felt like I had just gotten my life back. I felt robbed. I was very angry. And I remember when I share with people my story, I often talk about this moment because it was like this fork in the road showed up to me because I was so angry and I just felt so tempted to be bitter. And I was like, okay, what if overwhelming pain just leads to more overwhelming pain and more overwhelming pain? Why should I even try again? I mean, I've already conquered like a million different autoimmune conditions and now I have to face this thing. And she's telling me I'm going to be sick and I'm, you know, may not survive. And this is going to be the worst thing of my life. Why would I sign up for this? Because guess what? At the end of that, I'm just probably going to have something else. You know, I felt so discouraged. And then I just felt this other avenue open up in my mind. What if overwhelming pain doesn't equal more overwhelming pain, but what if it could equal overcoming power? What if I could use this to become something better and different and serve the world and serve my family and serve myself too, frankly? What if it could be something better? And I just committed to myself and I said a quick prayer to God and I was like, okay, I'm going to commit. If I'm going to do this, this has to be because it's going to turn into overcoming power, not just more overwhelming pain. And so that was my diagnosis moment.
And what tests did she run? I mean, when she saw all these things, I mean, it's one thing to identify, yes, you have Lyme, but then she did a bunch of other things to kind of see where you're at.
Yeah, I wish I could remember all the test names and I'm horrible at that. So I can't, like, I'm rusty, like I said, but basically she did a complex panel on me. It certainly wasn't the normal Lyme panel because she educated me right away that if I had had it for longer than a, you know, a very short period of time, it would come up as a false negative more than likely. So she was testing my immunomarkers. I remember that. She was testing my genetics to see if I had like MTHFR, which I did have that issue. She was also testing for the co-infections, because oftentimes you won't get tested for that. And I lit up, you know, everything. I had it all. And basically I couldn't detox well. I was messed up MTHFR. My immune markers were, she said they were the equivalent of someone actively dying in the hospital with AIDS. That's what she said my immune system looked like.
Oh, great.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just like, thanks.
She doesn't beat around the bush.
No. And I think she really wanted me to understand how serious this was, because later on we discovered I had a blood clotting disorder that can happen with Lyme. And, you know, so I ended up on heparin shots for about a year. And she said, I don't know how you didn't stroke out so far, you know? And so, yeah, I was very sick. I was very complex, and it was hard. I think the hardest thing for me was knowing that I was going to have to go back to feeling really sick for a while when I felt like I was actually moving forward with my life. So.
Yeah. And that's the thing. So with blood labs, I'm looking at CD4 and CD8 ratio, you know, that's mm-hmm. an important one to look at. And then also you have, you know, your lymphocyte versus, neutrophil ratio, you have the monocyte lymphocyte ratio, so you have an albumin level, so all these things are really good markers to see where you're at, you know, immune system wise. You can also look at natural killer cell amount and also natural killer cell activity, you know, so those are good things to consider, you know, when you have, you know, when you're dealing with this, and then communicate then to your doctor that this is what I want to do over and above then looking at what infections am I dealing with, like yes. you did.
Yes. And she did all of those tests. And then based on that, she built a treatment protocol. And I'll tell you, she started out using some herbal supplements. And then, you know, we were kind of doing burst therapy between the traditional, you know, more traditional antibiotics, and then the herbal supplements. And then of course, and I was shocked. I thought, oh, it's herbs. It can't do anything to me. It won't make me sick. Ooh, I was wrong. I was wrong. Those things just knocked me flat, way more than the antibiotics did often. And it was interesting, especially because she was trying to get through that blood-brain barrier. So because of the neurologic Lyme I had, so.
But you had a thick skull, is that what you're saying?
Yes, oh. I did, absolutely. There's no doubt I'm a stubborn person, yes. Yeah, so I was doing every kind of detox protocol I knew to do. We were pretty aggressive with the detoxing just because she was trying to keep me out of the hospital. I probably would have been hospitalized several times with, you know, the Herx reactions had my husband not been there as a physician, and her, you know, they were working together on protocols for me to just, it definitely would be something you'd want to do, you know, under the, you know, supervision of a physician. I was lucky that I had someone at home who could, you know, keep me out of the hospital.
And so what kind of, are there certain herbs or supplements that really kind of stick out to you that you remember that these were the ones that really had an impact? And
yeah, I think Tikuna was the number one. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that was the number one for me. And interestingly, when COVID hit, I read some articles in the Lyme community that a lot of people were getting Tikuna because it's such a good antiviral. And so we actually stocked up for it. When I had COVID, I used it for that. So because it worked so well with the co-infections and a little bit of the Lyme. So I don't know if that's useful at all, but that was something interesting.
So you did a lot of the Lee Cowden protocol, it mm-hmm. sounds like.
Okay, yep, did some of that. And,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. I did that. And I was making progress, but not at the rate she was hoping I would make progress. And we started suspecting that I had heart involvement. And being that she was so far away from me, she felt it would be best for me to find another physician or practitioner who was closer to me. And I will just tell you, that was like, I felt like I had been dumped, even though I hadn't. I mean, I was like crying. James was like, what's wrong? Like, I got dumped by my doctor. And it wasn't, she wasn't at all doing that. But I had leaned on her so much and trusted her. It was very scary to think about having to go back to the drawing board and find someone who could magically, I don't know, we were 2 years into this almost, and I wasn't well yet. I still couldn't reliably walk. I was throwing up constantly. I mean, nausea night and day. It was bad. And I just didn't see a light at the end of that tunnel. And so that was hard. So we had a few bummer visits. But one thing I will tell you is this. If you keep an open mind, even if the doctor who tells you that they're a Lyme doctor and they advertise that they're a Lyme doctor and they really don't know anything about Lyme or say, I don't even know if Lyme exists when you actually get there after traveling 4 hours, you can still learn something from them. For instance, he taught me that most Lyme patients have an extreme magnesium deficiency. So he started me on a magnesium injection protocol, and that really improved my quality of life a lot. Now, I didn't care for his bedside manner, and I didn't care for the other side of things, like he didn't really want to treat my Lyme, but it was useful. So, you know, keeping an open mind to, hey, well, maybe they've observed something that could help, you know, that helped me a lot. So.
Fascinating. Yeah. I think we had a person we interviewed in an earlier show that said something similar, that even though you may be referred to a doctor that does not relate to what it is that you're really dealing with, a lot of times the one that does not have the expertise in what you need is the one that may come up with something that really kind of shifts the tide.
Yeah, exactly. So I was feeling pretty discouraged, and then I ended up having a friend who reached out to me and told me about oh, and by the way, another amazing thing that I haven't shared yet is I had this wonderful friend who was studying craniosacral energy therapy, and she was studying it and needed to log her hours. So she was coming to my house at least once a week, sometimes several times a week, to do craniosacral therapy on me. And I cannot say enough how much that energy work helped me. I don't think people understand or account for. We understand the physical side of what's going on with our bodies and everything, but I don't always think we understand the energetic, emotional, spiritual, psychological side of what this does to us. And having someone working on that for me every week that I could count on was just a huge support. Can't say enough about that.
I've heard a lot of people really benefit from that cranial sacra. So gosh, yeah. Your husband's a doctor, friend is needing to log hours for you. You had some pretty good people in the ring with you.
I did. I was so blessed at every turn. I've been tremendously blessed with people who just have stepped up to help. And, you know, so my friend came to me and she said, hey, I've heard through the grapevine about this new person we haven't heard from with Lyme. And by the way, in this period of time, I don't think it's quite this way anymore. But when I was first diagnosed, our physician told us, she really advised us not to talk about the diagnosis, definitely not to talk about the fact that Jamie had anything to do with it, because at that point, physicians' licenses were being stripped. Physicians were mysteriously, and I'm not like a big conspiracy person, but physicians were having some really hard things happen to them because they were acknowledging a disease that someone didn't want acknowledged. And so we were advised not to even talk about it. So, you know, facing this without being able to talk about it because your husband's career could be over and you could be dragged to court. I mean, that was pretty tough. So under the radar, we find this other lady, and she had a completely different approach than I had ever seen or heard of. There was no protocol I had ever heard of or seen that did what she did. She came at it from a pathology standpoint. She was a pathologist. And said, hey, well, this is a cellular issue. We can work on that. And so she started working with me. She did 100% using herbs. She used a lot of the Desbios products, and that helped a lot with the detoxification. She started using a machine that ran an electrical current through us, through me, and actually this electrical current was targeted to kill the Lyme or the co-infection or whatever it was. And this was a machine she had helped develop. Then she had us on a Tesla coil. Then she had me doing foot baths. And lo and behold, within about 8 weeks after, you know, and she said definitely all the work I had done before was what got us there so quickly. But within 8 weeks, I was in remission. Oh, cool. It was kind of the final thing I needed to be able to get me into remission. So.
And obviously people are, you know, that are listening, they're going to want to hear, you know, what is this machine? You know, yeah. I mean, the ionic foot bath, you know, the Tesla yep. coils, you know, all of that, you mm-hmm. know, it's available, but it, what is this machine? Is it similar to the ones that you do the biomeridians, the AO scan, or?
It kind of, but it's honestly a machine that an engineer built in his garage in Washington somewhere. Like, I don't even know if you can get it. It's crazy. But it works, and each, you know, it worked tremendously. It's very similar to, you know, some of the other units that are out there, but for whatever reason, this machine was what she had in her office. So it's all about finding that currency and, you know, or that current and that, you know, and putting the current through. So obviously I'm not a scientist, so I'm not giving very good scientific answers.
You're doing great. Yeah. So I mean, at our office, we have something it's kind of like Rife technology.
That's what mm-hmm. I was going to ask.
Yeah. Yes. Like I could not think of that word. Yeah. It's similar to that. I've done mm-hmm. Rife as well. This was a little bit different, but yeah, it's on that same idea.
Yeah. And there are many Rife machines out there and they're all right. a little different and they mm-hmm. you know, function. Yeah. So some people, you know, some machine people get great response to, and then other people right. don't, and then they would from another one. And so,
right, yeah. right. Yeah. Mm-hmm, for
so,
sure.
Cool. So this is what kind of was the cap of the treatment. Then it just kind yes. of finalized and took you to where you're at right now.
Yes. Although I will say about 3 weeks after I was declared in remission, I couldn't walk again.
Oh, great.
And I was so frustrated. So I was like, okay, I'm in remission. We're over. This is done now. And what we realized was that although I was in remission and we had killed everything off, we still had some work to do to get my body healed up all the way. So we did a lot with immunotherapy, peptide therapy, a lot of supplements. I don't know if you want me to talk about specific supplements to help yeah, me or not, but I can
I'd
tell
love
you.
To, and different okay. peptides and things. Yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure. The peptides were tremendously helpful to me to just rebalance and reset my immune system.
Like thymus using, and alpha 1 or KPD, mm-hmm. TB4.
Yeah. I mean, we used a lot of different ones to try. I even did peptide injections for a while just to try that. We did, I love MitoCore. From Orthomolecular, that helps at the cellular level. I did some adrenal support. Ashwagandha was super helpful to me. There's a supplement called Zen, which just helped me sleep because sleep was so messed up with Lyme and with all the therapies. So anything I could do to sleep was helpful. I did a lot of, you know, magnesium injections. And just basically got serious and focused because, you know, I kind of let my diet slide too when I was so sick, like whatever I could get down and keep down, that's what I had for the day. And so focusing in again on that nutrition, doing another Alcat and just, you know, okay, what can I eat? What can I not eat? And focusing heavily on an anti-inflammatory lifestyle. I also had a very good friend who, you know, oh, I did PRP injections too, to help me get walking again. Mm-hmm. That was tremendously helpful. And after those injections, we still weren't sure what the results were going to be. And I had a dear friend who was, trained by the direct disciple of Joseph Pilates. And she said to me, cause I was feeling pretty discouraged. I don't know if I'm ever going to walk again. A lot of the, you know, people in our sphere were like, yeah, your nerves got pretty chewed up by the Lyme. We don't know if he'll ever walk unassisted again fully. And I didn't really like that answer as I'm stubborn. So I chatted with her and told her what I was thinking. And she said, well, I've worked with a lot of people who've had, you know, brain injury or, you know, other strange things, strokes. Why don't you come to my studio and we'll see what we can do. So she started working with me with a strict Pilates routine. And she was doing all the work for me because I couldn't lift my legs. I couldn't do anything. She said, I just want you to watch. And basically we started retraining my brain and my body. And within a few months I was walking unassisted between all of those things put together. So Pilates, I can't say enough about it. I do it every single day. It keeps me out of pain. It keeps me walking, keeps me feeling great. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. I did one of my radio show one time. I interviewed a gal, her name was Anyat Baniel, and she does, just rolls off your tongue.
It's a great name.
I know, but she developed a technique called Baniel method, which is in essence what you're talking about is you know, doing movement to heal your brain. Mm-hmm. And she was relaying a story about a gentleman that had a portion of his brain literally blown off, you know, so
yes,
the portion that related to his ability to move, it was gone. It did not exist. Yeah, you know, which means that obviously, you know, he was doomed.
He
shouldn't be able to move.
Right.
So so she did exactly, you know, similar to what you're describing, mm-hmm. is that, you know, started to move the body, and in that way other areas of the brain started to pick up the slack and started to then function in lieu of the area that was gone. And then he became fully functional.
Yeah. I believe it. Yeah. I believe it 100%.
Yeah. Wow. It's really cool. Yeah. It's really cool how the body is. And
so, yes.
Yeah. So good job for being the trophy winner and
the overachiever.
And good job for
being stubborn and continuing to figure out what it was that was debilitating your body.
Yes.
And kind of having the mindset of pulling the resources towards you that you need in order to overcome the obstacles.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, definitely.
Yeah. And that is mindset gratitude, and antidepressants will not do that for you.
No.
Nope. I tried it. It didn't work.
No.
Didn't work.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you have a very, very powerful story. You went up and down and up and down. And so I'm glad that you're up on the high note. You're feeling amazing. You've got things in place that you do to maintain your good health. Because I think that's really an important part of our journey as well.
Absolutely. Because it's really something that you need to maintain the rest of your life, and you need to keep an open mind to new things that can improve that health, and just not, I don't walk around afraid of Lyme, but I certainly don't let my guard down and pretend like it couldn't come back. It couldn't strike again. And, you know, I have the kind of the minimum of what I do every single day to make sure that I'm taken care of.
And those are such strong words that, like, I want to push repeat. What did you say again? Because there's so many people out there that, you know, I understand that we go through so much physically and emotionally when we go through this Lyme journey, that once we feel better, you don't ever want to think about Lyme again. I get that. I'm sure you get that. But it's so unbelievably important of how you must continue to maintain your good health. Yes. You know, I still do my Biomed. I still take my binder pills. There's so many things that I do that I will do for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. They're simple things. If that's all I need to do to stay healthy, I can do that. So it's, those are such important words to say.
And I'm curious, what is your protocol that you feel I do this and I'm going to do well?
Yes, my bare minimum every day. Okay. I'll take 2 to 4 MitoCore every day. I'll take an adrenal supplement and some adrenal herbal supplements. I do Pilates every single day. And I also love the melt method. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that, but I love that. It helps
little,
a lot.
Little bricks that you put.
Well,
in
it's
places,
it's or? A special method that basically uses kind of like a roller, but it's really great at lymphatic pump and at just relaxing and helping your muscles. It's just it helps a lot, especially with post Lyme pain. So I do melt and Pilates every day. I have like a little 15-minute routine I've pulled together for myself that I just do, a green smoothie every single day. Because you can get up to 16 servings of your fruits and vegetables just doing that one time. Well, why wouldn't you? Right. And then magnesium for sure. And making sure I take care of myself, getting good sleep every night. And I think the only other thing I would say that's so important that we don't talk about enough in our community is taking care of the emotion around everything, because I'm not afraid of Lyme. It doesn't choke me up to think about talking about it. It's totally just a thing that happened and I've moved on, but it took a lot of work to get there. I wrote a book on it. I've coached people around it, you know, and a lot of it was like therapeutic, like, okay, I need to do this, but I use the emotional freedom technique, tapping, to work on that a lot. Dynamic neural response training helped a lot with my body and my brain and my emotions. And really making sure that I'm just checking in with myself, and not pushing too hard. I think that's the only other thing. You know, I'm an ambitious person, and I often joke that, you know, I'm like, okay, I feel like I have the ambition of a race car and the body of a Model T. So how do I make that work together? And just finding the joy and the gratitude in every single day is really like kind of the, I don't know, that's the secret sauce for me, at least. Is the attitude and the way that we approach, because we will, I'm sorry to tell you, if you're listening to this, my Lyme friend, but you will encounter hard things again, maybe even harder things than what you're facing right now. But the great news is whatever you're facing right now is preparing you so that you have all the tools you need to be able to deal with whatever you need to in your life. You don't have to be afraid of it. And you can carry on, but we can't be dragging around this sack of rocks behind us of all the emotional burdens that we can carry when we think about this is a very hard, often a very traumatic situation to find yourself in, and you don't feel prepared for it. But here you are. So finding the ways to not get stuck in the grief and move through it and move past it and maybe even bless someone else. That's what I found the key is.
I love it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, Libby, that was a long journey, an incredible journey. I'm grateful for your husband who stood by you and pushed you and said, okay, we're going to get you better. I think that's amazing to have that type of support. So
absolutely.
Thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. Oh, I wanted to ask, what is the name of your book?
Oh, well, it's just a little book I wrote, that I've used within our, business. It's called The Art of Worry. And the premise is that, we all meditate all the time. It's whether we choose to meditate on the positive or the negative. And it's not actually published. It's just what I have around, but I do have a website. If people want more information about, you know, kind of what we do and what our journey has, if that's okay for me to share that with you all.
Please
absolutely.
Do.
It's just called Revolutionary Joy. So revolutionaryjoy.com. And,
awesome that, name.
Yeah, yes. Thanks. That's the name of my company. And I work with people who have chronic illness to not only get through that period of time, but to move on past it to a good place where they feel that comfort and that confidence within their own lives. So
that's awesome. I love hearing people who go through this journey and then kind of their path in life changes a bit along the line of,
yes,
of helping those others. Yeah. So
for
that's
sure.
Incredible to hear. Well, thank you so much for joining us and sharing,
yes,
everything.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I feel like we could talk about this for weeks. You know, there's so many layers to it all.
There is. Yeah, there's so many offshoots that you can really kind of go and explore. And that's the thing, is that these type of diseases and these and kind of the emotional, the mental, the physical, the spiritual, you know, all of that becomes part of the picture. And it is, as you're going on this journey, you need to explore all these areas, because they're all facets of you. And in order to be able to have a holistic approach, you need to address them all, because they are all the ones supporting you to gain good health and have that fortitude to move through this. So, Libby, thank you so much. This was amazing.
Yes.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.